Hallelujah. Jesus, again, I said, is Savior to those who walk in the flesh and Lord to those who walk in the Spirit. When Paul, or Saul, who became Paul, had his visitation from the Lord, and the Lord slammed him, knocked him off the horse, and touched him. You know what he said? What do you want me to do, Lord? He acknowledged him as Lord, didn't he? Whoo! And there are many times when people begin to backslide in that area because there's three chambers in the tabernacle. There's the most holy place, the holy place, and then the outer court. And when you're in the outer court, you're in the flesh. And that's where Jesus is Savior. It's not until you're in the Holy of Holies till He is Lord. So there's a transition, isn't there, that happens. There's a place where you can walk, where God makes the doors available to you to enter. Of course, the more you deny yourself, the more that the Spirit has access to you. Amen. Turn to Psalm 36, please. Hallelujah. Psalm 36. How's everybody tonight? Amen. Would you read the first four verses with me? Psalm 36, verse 1 through 4. An oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes, for he flatters himself in his own eyes when he finds out his iniquity and when he hates. The words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He devises wickedness on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good, and he does not abhor evil. Now, this is powerful. This is the fruit of an unbeliever. Does everybody see this? This is an inward fruit. Now, I'm not talking about outward fruits. These are inward fruits, okay? Now, we know that the Bible talks in the Galatians about the fruits of the flesh. Those are outward fruits, aren't they? But there's an area where there's inward fruits. This is not only an unbeliever, and you got to understand something. Can a believer become an unbeliever? Amen, because the word believe means what? To follow. When a believer begins to stop following, resist the following of the Lord or the leading of the Spirit, does it become an unbeliever? You bet ya. And that's what's in the heart. Because the Bible says that you don't even know your own heart. Amen? So here are some things that are fruits, the inward fruits of the unbeliever. Now, I want to call this area the unborn. Because an individual can fall from the born-again state to the lost state. Come on, are you with me? Because an unborn person doesn't follow, does he? So a believer can actually come from the born-again state, and I wanted to express this as a state of being. You know, I know you'll say, oh, once you're born again, you're born again. Oh, really? Then why do people go back and serve in the devil? Oh, they just made a mistake and got tricked. Well, if you're in a position of born again, in a state of being of born again, you won't be tricked. Is everybody with me? There is a place. Did Jesus get tricked? Hello? Did Paul get tricked? No. There are many disciples that did not get tricked, did they? Did they make mistakes? Yes. Did they walk in unbelief? No. Once the anointing and the Spirit of the Lord came upon those men, They never betrayed him again. They were born again and stayed in that state to the day they died. And if they can do it, so can we. We got to stop this foolishness of associating with the world and petting evil. And let the devil take us from a born-again state to a lost state. That is just ridiculous. It's got to stop. Fruits of an inward of the unborn. No fear of God or reverence or acknowledgement of whom he is. In other words, they lose the fear of God. Let me share something with you. When an individual loses the fear of God, they speak evil of dignitaries like it's okay. I had a man speak to me over the phone. And I was sitting in the, when I was sitting in my seat, and this individual was saying things to me over the phone. And all of a sudden, the Lord was there. And this man had no idea who he was speaking to. Because Jesus said, if you do it unto him, you do it unto me. All of a sudden, I saw the Lord in the Spirit. And he was holding the phone. And this man was saying things. I thought, whoa. And I just, I had peace and just hung the phone up and that's it. I thought, wow. And I thought, my God, that person has no idea what he's about to go through. See, pride blinds an individual. Because they can't discern what's right and wrong. They lose the fear of God because they lose sight of who they speak to. And they like to blame everybody else for their stuff. Will not accept acknowledgement. Will not humble. Fear of God has been taken away. Why? Because that individual has been taken out of the born-again state of being. Does everybody understand that? Has anybody ever offended you? Did you want vengeance? Did you go do it? There's a difference, isn't there? Hello? Do you understand that? There's a difference. It doesn't mean that you want to do goofy things. Hello? It means you sever it so you don't do it. No fear of God or reverence or acknowledgement of who he is. That's the first thing of an inward fruit of the unborn. The second one is the self-righteousness rejoices in promoting self. There's a self-righteousness. Because they don't understand righteousness. Do you understand? Because the only way that you can understand righteousness is if you eat from the tree of life. But by eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you only know good and evil. Are you with me? They can't see beyond self, right? So they are blinded by the spirit of error, aren't they? Actually, they're blinded by spirit of pride. They have no revelation of the ripple effect of what's about to happen. The third thing is they have an inward hatred for light and truth. Do you know when a believer backslides and goes back into the world, they don't want to run to the light, do they? Why? Because they've come into that unborn state or lost state. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's an area where they cannot run to the light. They hate the light. How many times, you remember when we were out in the world? Is everybody with me? We were out in the world, right? And we're in those bars till they close and the light goes on. Everybody looks like a demon. Man, I was talking to that all night. Yo. You see these lies like this and, you know. Man. I mean, people look demonized because they are. They've been drinking the cup of demons. Number four, they speak lies for self-edification and take advantage of others. They can't receive correction, but they like to accuse and criticize others to make themselves look good. And I need to repeat that. They speak lies for self-edification and take advantage of others. They can't receive correction, but they accuse and criticize others to make themselves look good. The fifth thing is there's no true wisdom. It's worldly wisdom. There's no direction. Decisions are always led. Decisions are always led to destruction. In some way, somebody gets hurt. Does everybody understand that? Because the individual in this unborn state is only concerned about itself, and decisions are made regardless of who gets hurt as long as self is fulfilled. Are you with me? The sixth thing, thoughts are toward unruly actions of lust, revenge, unforgiveness, pride, and greed. And they are tormented until those areas are fulfilled. I'll say it again. Thoughts are toward unruly actions of lust, revenge, unforgiveness, pride, and greed. The seventh inward fruit does not hate evil, nor can discern evil. Again, they call good evil and evil good, because they compromise. And remember, we said that compromising is an area where you're willing to take a bribe from the devil. If you compromise, you've accepted the bribe. Because the only reason why an individual compromises is because there's something beneficial for that person. Is everybody with me? So compromise is nothing but a bribe from the devil, and that person has accepted it by compromising and brings a curse on himself. Listen, you got to understand something, that the enemy is looking. The Bible says that the devil searches, doesn't he? He seeks whom he can devour. The Bible says make no place for the devil. Why do we keep talking about not making place for the devil? Because that's what's happening. That's why people are getting put out of position. They know that God loves them. Okay, I can sit here all day long and tell you how much God loves you. You already know that. But you need to discern what your enemy is like and what his next move is. Because if you don't know that and you're not one step ahead of him, he's going to lasso you. And you must learn how to turn around and fight and quit taking the lies and the garbage that he tells you. Amen? Go to John 3. Is everybody all right? Are you hot? Do we need to turn on the AC? Paula, we need to turn on the AC. Got hot in here. I got my fan on. I'm all right. I need to bring a car battery in here to hook this thing up. Man, it got really hot here also. Okay. John 3 and verse 3. And Jesus said to him, most assuredly I say, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So by walking in a born again state, the kingdom of God is manifested. Is everybody okay? Now remember, the anointed seed that's in you, hello? The anointed seed that is in you wants to make contact with the anointing that comes upon you. Are you with me? The anointed seed that's in you wants to make contact with the anointing that comes upon you. The Bible tells us because, you know, the seed remains in us. Amen? Now, when the anointing comes upon you, this is where you and I must operate in the anointing. Are you understanding it? Why? Because in the meantime, the anointing is operating in you, but when the anointing comes upon you, you operate in the anointing. Hello? That's why the anointing is what? God. Now, he said, listen, man, you need to be born again. That's where the anointing of God is, in that born-again state. In other words, in the born-again state, the anointing is always waiting for you. For what? For whatever service, for whatever thing. When the Holy Spirit says, do this, before you can put two steps there, or sometimes when you get there, the anointing comes on you. Why? Because you've obeyed the anointing that's in you, and he wants to meet the anointing that's going to come upon you. Then what happens is you operate in the anointing. That's why the Bible says, and those who believe in my name, they will what? Cast out devils. Speak with what? New tongues. Why? There's the anointing within and the anointing without. Outside. The anointing inside and the anointing. Are you with me? Okay. So God is trying to bring us to another level where we begin to operate in the anointing. So that means that you must walk in the born-again state so that you are ready in season and out. If you are not in the born-again state, you're in the outer court and you are not ready in season and out, and the devil trips you up every time. Why? Because the anointing is to anoint your flesh from saying no also, isn't it? So when temptation comes, you know what comes? The anointing. If you are walking in the born-again state. When attacks come, guess what comes? The anointing. Are you with me? Now, this anointing is not producing wisdom of the world. This anointing is producing wisdom from above. Now you're able to see differently, hear differently. And he said, we must be born again to see the kingdom of God. Why? The kingdom of God is operated in power. It's the eternal presence, right, that comes in a temporary realm. That eternal presence is waiting for you all the time. That's why you must be ready in season and out. But the only way to be able to step in that is to walk in a born-again state. Because if you're not walking in that state of being, you miss God. And you'll be moved by every stinky little decision and emotion and anger and all kinds of other goofy things that the devil likes to put in your place. And Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time and in his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Do you get it? So, he can't see the kingdom of God and you can't enter the kingdom of God. In other words, you can't see the manifestation of the kingdom. Why? Because you can't enter into the anointing. Why? Because you must be born again. Does everybody understand this? Good. Go to verse 19. And this is a condemnation that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. In other words, does the truth and fellowships with light. That's walking in a born-again state. Are you with me? Go to Galatians 5. Hallelujah. Galatians 5, verse 16. And I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you not shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish or you desire. That you wish or desire, or that you feel, or that you think, or that you see, or that you lust for, or that you want. I got to have it. If I can't have it, nobody can. Hallelujah. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and things that are associated or like those things, which are works of the flesh, which he said, and over, and those who what? Practice such things will what? Not inherit the kingdom of God. Is that the anointing? Amen. I want you to begin to recognize that the kingdom of God is associated with the anointing. It's the anointing. And those who practice such things can't enter into the anointing, can they? They can't catch the anointing. Why? Because they're not in the born-again state of being. If you're not in a born-again state of being, the anointing can't come on you. You can quote all the scriptures you want. The only thing you can do is plead for mercy and forgiveness. Let's go a little further. Now, these are outward fruits, aren't they? But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who are Christ in the anointing have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires or its wants and its wishes. If we live in the Spirit, let us also what? Walk in the Spirit. Let us not become what? Conceited, provoking one another, or envying one another. Now, those are the outward fruits, aren't they? Now, we know that love is a fruit of the Spirit, but love is a choice, isn't it? People express God's love, don't they? Amen? So, even love, you can sense the love of God on an individual, and the compassion, and so forth. But there's an area where there's the fruits of born again. And that's what I want to talk about. Hallelujah. Do we need to say all that to get to this? Yes. And I said, Lord, you share me where you want to go tonight, because I don't. Proverbs 1. Glory. Proverbs chapter 1. Hallelujah. In verse 7, would you read it with me? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fear or reverence is the first inner fruit. And I want to talk about inner fruit because there's a sense in your spirit that you reverence God. Does everybody understand that? There is a reverence of God within you that prevents you from offending Him. Because you sense that reverence. Is everybody with me? That's an inward fruit. So you can say how much you fear God, but your actions will eventually associate with that inward fruit. Because if that fear of God is not there, you'll speak against dignitaries and do all kinds of goofy things. You'll, you know, do those things you desire and whatever. Why? Because you'll turn yourself away from God to do your own thing. There is fear and reverence, acknowledges, and the inward connection. There's this fear of God is the connection to the Creator. There's a reverence, there's an acknowledgement that you are connected to the Creator. You know that the Creator is there, right here. There's an inward reverence to God Almighty that the Creator is connected to you. It's almost like an umbilical cord that's connected from you to the Creator. There's a fear and reverence of God. It's an inward fruit of born again. And this is if you're walking in that born again state. And we need to begin to recognize these things. Have I lost that? Well, then you're falling back. Hello? Once you lose that, you're walking out of that born again state. Because that born-again state keeps you in reverence to God. Keeps you connected to the Creator. The Bible says, depart from evil and do what? And do good. Why do people depart from evil? Because there's that reverence of God that does not associate with evil. That's why the devil always lets you get you sucked in the ring. If he can get you sucked in the ring, he moves you out of the born-again state. Hello? Then Jesus needs to become Savior. That's when everybody goes, oh, Lord, help! They're calling on their Savior, aren't they? Instead of him being Lord, and them saying, no, because Lord has dominion over all things. Psalm 15. This is the second one. Oh, wait a minute. Back up. Go to Proverbs 14. I just want to confirm the depart from the evil. You can write it down if you want, or you can go there. Proverbs 14:16, and it says, a wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. Come on, say that one with me. I'm glad we came back to this. Verse 16. A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages in his what? Self-confidence. What's happened? He's lost the fear of God, hasn't he? He's lost that connection to his Creator. Why? Because he's been removed from the born-again state. I'll go to 14 while we're here. Read it with me. The backslider in heart will be filled with his what? Own ways. But a good man will be satisfied from above. Why? Because he's connected. Now go to Psalm 15. Oh, hallelujah. First five verses, would you read it with me? Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle and who may dwell on your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. In whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who what? Fear the Lord. He swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be what? Moved. Why? Because this person desires the presence of God. Does everybody understand that? He desires the presence of God. To him, there's a sensitivity, a sensitiveness of his offense. In other words, this person senses when God's offended. Are you with me? This is an inner fruit, man. There's that sense in you, that sensitive area where you know when God's offended. That's an inner fruit. Are you with me? There's also a sense that the Lord is at hand. Why? Because you're maintaining the fear of the Lord. But in this fear of the Lord, there's a sensitive area, which is that fruit that you know what offends him. You may get ready to do something, and your first thing is not that you're doing something bad. Do you understand that? But you're doing something that's offensive. See, that's a fruit of when you're an inner fruit when you're in the born-again state. See, if these fruits are maintained while you're in a born-again state, you won't go to the other state. They'll protect you. Hello? Are you all right? Go to Proverbs 2. Hallelujah. Oh, praise you, Lord. You know, it blows my mind because God, I always wonder, Lord, where are you bringing us to? And it's like, closer. Oh, where are you bringing us to? Closer. How close do you want to get till we become one? Proverbs 2. Are you with me? Starting at verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search her as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity in every good thing. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul. Now, there is an overwhelmingness to hear and obey the voice of God. There's an overwhelmingness within you to hear and obey the voice of God. In fact, your antennas are out all the time. Say it with me. There's an overwhelming desire to hear and obey the voice of God. You search because you want to know him more. Go to Psalm 63. We're still on the third one. Psalm 63. This is powerful. I love this psalm. Now here's a man who wanted to hear God's voice and obey so badly. Look at the psalm in Psalm 63. What does he say? Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is what? No water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall what? Praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with the marrow and the fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night's watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will take refuge. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. So we see here that this is a worshiper, isn't it? This is one who desires to hear and obey. So what does he do? He says, I will seek the Lord early in the morning. What's he looking for? He's looking for the voice of God and the presence of God. It's an inward desire to hear the voice of God and to obey. But he is a worshiper. You know, God is not worshipped while you're sitting. It's amazing how people sit down and worship and they'll lift a hand. Oh, hallelujah. You know, man, we should either be standing praising God or on our knees. Unless there's something physically wrong with you. And I didn't say mentally wrong with you. Because if there's something mentally wrong with you, you should be on your face. You know, I'm telling you, there's that inward sense where you just want, when you begin to worship God, you don't want to stop. Why? Because that's that born again fruit that's manifesting in you. You just want more. And it doesn't matter what you're thinking. It doesn't matter about anything. Your spirit wants to get closer to Him. I'm telling you, I see people and I talk with people and I can sense in my spirit that they're really not worshiping. They're not going after God. You know, by worshiping gets you in the presence so you can get in a born-again state. Amen? Not everybody that comes in this building at first is in the born-again state. But I pray everybody's in the born-again state by the time they leave. Of course, the devil waits for you right out there to try and trip you up. And get you in the outer courts and get you fleshy. Believe me, when you come in there, you should hang your flesh on all the coat racks behind you and leave them. But the devil hangs at the door and says, here you go. Isn't this your coat? Isn't this your coat? Hey, come on. Then people go home and they go, oh, man, they start bickering with one another after they just left the glorious presence of God. It's like stepping right into a puddle of mud. You know, you came out all cleaned and everything. And oh, to God be the glory. Go to Proverbs 29. This is the fourth one of the inward fruits of born again. Oh, praise God. Proverbs 29. Verse 18. Would you read it with me? where there is no revelation. The people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. Now listen, this is about revelation knowledge. This is not a revelation. Oh, I got a revelation from the Word. No, this is something that comes from the throne. Are you with me? That's great to have a revelation from the Word, but I'm telling you, there's something different that comes from the throne room of God into you. And that's a fruit that is manifested when you're walking in a born-again state. There is revelation that comes within you that changes you. It's different than just revelation of the Word or whatever. It's not revelation knowledge in that arena for the gift. You understand, like word of knowledge or something? This is revelation that comes from the throne room of God that is changing. It changes. It changes you. And not that God can't confirm it in His Word. You understand that? But it comes straight from the throne room of God. It's not something that you pick the Word up and got. It's something that comes right from the throne room of God. It's like, wow. It's revelation that changes you. The purpose is to complement you in your walk, to keep you walking in the born-again state. See, the devil's trying to get you out of the born-again state. The Holy Ghost is trying to keep you in the born-again state. Amen? Inward revelation. Sometimes it's just an inward revelation of wisdom from above, but not worldly wisdom. Because it could be an inward revelation of direction. Wow, I've been waiting for that, Lord. Why? Because something was occurring outside that you got revelation on the inside. Are you with me? That's a born-again fruit, isn't it? It's an area where you have revelation or you are willing to wait for revelation because you are not of this world. And you know that by making a decision or going in a direction without revelation, you step out of the anointing into a filthy, dirty world. That's why it says, come on, read it with me. Where there is no revelation, that people what? Cast off restraints. In other words, they just let everything go. Are you with me? They just what? Let everything go. There's no restraint now. Restraint of what? Restraint of doing the right thing. The restraint of pleasing God. See, that desire of always wanting to please God is constant in you. Just like tongues is constant in you. When you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, tongues is constant in you. If you really dig deep in the Spirit, you'll hear tongues praying in you. I can hear it praying in me right now. That's all I need to do is step in and go, Baharaha Shiki Kiyam Bahala Miya. And it's ripping off. That's all you need to do is listen. It's running in you. Why did the Bible says that the Holy Ghost is constantly making intercession for you? How? He's praying, your spirit's praying in tongues. He's praying in you. So if you really listen and go deep in your spirit, you hear him praying in tongues. Come on, you can hear tongues in your mind right now. Just listen. That's all you need to do is step in. Let it rip. Hallelujah. Sometimes you need to get that because you need to pray in the Holy Ghost because you got bases loaded and you're up. And you need a revelation to get that home run. Amen. You need to play from the throne room because everybody's got butterfingers that day. Hallelujah. Got real hot in here now. Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Inward fruits of born again. In verse 15, please. Therefore, I also say, after I heard your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the what? Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Whoa. Inward revelation. Has everybody got it? You know what also happens? There is inward sight. There's a seeing inwardly that can express words. It's an inward sight. And it can come through revelation. You know, God can give you revelation right in your spirit by a picture where you see. Have you ever woke up first thing in the morning and you knew there was something you were supposed to do? It was in your spirit. There could be somebody that you saw that you needed to pray for. That's inward revelation. And the reason why He gave it to you just before you got up is because you couldn't get it while you were up. And you'd forget it while you were sleeping. So just seconds before you wake up, pew, there it goes. Revelation. So you got it the last 3 seconds you were sleeping. And the fifth one, go to Luke 17. Oh, hallelujah. Luke 17. And verse 20. Now when He was asked by the Pharisees, Jesus was asked, when the kingdom of God will come, He answered them, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. In other words, He knew what they were seeing, thinking what the kingdom of God came like. He said, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is what? Within you. That means the kingdom within, the power within, that wouldn't allow you to be moved by emotions. Right? Or listen, or to retract a wrong decision. How many times have you made a wrong decision? You retract it right away. No, that's not it. That's power. Do you understand that? That's power to say, no, you retract that decision. There's power. The kingdom of God is power, isn't it? There's power that you don't get moved by that emotion. You're getting ready to be moved by that emotion or whatever, and you retract it. Because that's the inward fruit of power within you by the kingdom of God. That's that born-again state. But if you're not walking in the born-again state, you just, whew, go do it. Are you with me? You just go do it. If you're not walking in that born-again state. That's why the Bible says to be filled with the Spirit of God, doesn't it? Do not be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. Are you all right? The sixth thing, John 16. We're getting here. There's about 50 of them. No, I'm only kidding. It's okay. All right. That was a joke from the pulpit. Ha, ha, ha. John 16, verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, everyone say truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you what? Things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and what? Declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said that he will take of mine and what? Declare it to you. Wow. That's your inheritance, isn't it? There's an inner knowing of truth that will guide. It's like a guide factor. But there's got to be, I want you to understand what cooperates is. There must be in the power that gives you the willingness to surrender. Say the willingness to surrender your thoughts, your emotions for his purpose. Hallelujah. That way, Christ is reflected in you and from you so that he would be glorified. Does everybody understand what was just said? Okay, I'll say it again. There's an inward knowing and truth. In other words, it's the guiding factor, the truth. The Holy Spirit guides us into the truth, doesn't he? Amen? And its result is because we have the anointing and the power within us where we can have a willing desire to surrender. Amen? A willing desire. So you are making the choice to willingly desire your spirit to the Holy Spirit. Your willing desire to surrender your will to the will of the Spirit. Your willing to desire to surrender your emotions to the motions of the Spirit. Your willing desire to surrender your thoughts to the mind of Christ. Your willing desire. That's a born-again state. Oh, hallelujah. Go to 1 John 2. First John chapter 2. Glory. Inward fruits of born again. Chapter 2 and verse 18. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard, the Antichrist is coming. Even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it's the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have what? An anointing from the Holy One, and you know what? You know all things. Knowing what is evil and what is good. It's the inward counsel. Everyone say, I have an inward counsel. From the throne room. Oh, hallelujah. Why? Because you know all things, don't you? But, okay, let's back up. If there's not a willingness to surrender your thoughts, your will, let me share something with you. If you're not walking in the born-again state, that's not manifesting. You're still manifesting. And then the outward fruits will show, hello, what's manifesting on the inward. See, you'll know whether you're walking in a born-again state. Praise God. Especially the things that come out of your mouth, you'll know right away. The seventh thing, go to 2 Timothy 2. Oh, you're going to love this one. 2 Timothy 2, verse 11. Oh, the glory of your presence. 2 Timothy 2, verse 11. This is a faithful saying. Would you all read it with me, please? For if we what? Died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, he shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. So in us, where there must be a willingness to die for his cause. No fear and no want. Do you ever fight for what you want? You know what you just did? You walked out of a born-again state. Because walking in a born-again state is death. There is no reaction. Okay, do you understand what I'm saying? There's no reaction to something that's offending you. There's no reaction in the thing that you want. There's no reaction. There's action of the faith. There's a difference. There's an area where you're willing to give up everything to please him. When you walk in a born-again state, there is no regret. When you walk in a born-again state, there is no guilt and condemnation. The word is alive within you. Are you with me? There's a willingness to die for his sake. And it's constant. It's not a one-time event. It's constant. Why? Because the enemy challenges you all day long to stay alive. He challenges you all day long to woo you out of that born-again state and get you caught up. He challenges you all day long. Ephesians 4. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4 and verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer what? Walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God or the life of the anointing. Because of the ignorance that is in them. Hello, that's where? In them. Well, if you're in a born-again state, there should not be ignorance in you. Because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to the work of all uncleanliness, with greediness. Remember, greediness promotes spiritual poverty. But you have not learned the anointing, for if you had heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God and true righteousness and holiness. Wow. There will be fruitful thoughts and inner holiness and inner cleanliness that you desire. There are things that you don't want to touch because it's unclean. Even when you touch them, you drop them because you know it's unclean. I remember one time I walked into this place and I went to go pick up something to look at, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, drop it, and I dropped it. And there's this New Age thing. It was beautiful, nice picture and stuff. I thought it was pretty neat. And I realized later it was all New Age. I walked out of that place, I lifted my hands, I repented, I said, wash me with the blood. Every time I used to walk out of places, I'd say, wash me with the blood. There's an innerness which desires holiness and cleanliness. It's that area where the priesthood is manifesting, which discerns what is clean and what is unclean, what's holy and what's unholy. Do you understand that the inwardness of the fruits of the Spirit, or the fruits of being born again in the inwardness, is priesthood? Because it's not called in the offices of the body of Christ, is it? It's established in a born-again state. Priesthood. 1 Timothy 6:11. Oh, yeah. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Timothy 6:11. But you, O man of God, flee things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the what? Good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. There is an inner faith. There is an inner hope that is constant. Even though your mind and your emotions and all the other things are telling you all things, but there's an inner hope that you're connected to. Go to Romans 8 somewhere. Romans 8:22, I think it is. Hallelujah. Romans 8:22. Praise be to God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the what? First fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Why? There's that inner hope of perseverance that keeps you going because you know that there's more. You know. And the last one I want to talk about, which is, I think, is the 10th one, is in Romans 8:15. Would you read it with me? For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. So we know that there is an inner witness in us that we are children of God. There's an inner witness in us of conviction. Amen? There's an inner witness in us of chastening of God. There's an inner witness. You know when there's correction. Correction does not come from God as a strong thing all the time. It comes as a gentleness. Come on, you know you shouldn't be doing that. Because that's the inner witness of the conviction. Then there goes to the chastening. That's a little bit stronger. Then there goes the judgment. And that's strong. So within us are these inner fruits that we need to be more sensitive to and acknowledge them. Why? It will keep you in the born-again state so that nobody has to tell you about your outward fruits. Are you with me? Inward, born-again fruits will produce the fruits of the outwardness of the Spirit. Are you with me? They will produce the fruits of the Spirit. Others will see it, won't they? Because what's on the inside expresses what's on the outside, doesn't it? But this is your inner walk. And we have a teaching called Your Inner Walk. This is your inner walk. This is where you're communicating with God, isn't it? This is where that constant relationship is. Where he's saying, walk this way. Where he's saying, stop. Where he's saying, go. Where he's saying, don't touch that. Where he's saying, you know better than that. Hallelujah. Where he's saying, will you die for me? You hear that in your inner self. You hear that in your spirit. Sometimes when the Lord will say, will you die for me? Those are areas and the fruits within that you know you're walking in the born-again state. Not in a compromised state. Not in the outer courts, not in a saved state, but in a dead state of complete surrender and totally sold out. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask, Lord, that the blood would be upon these seeds, that it would grow and bear fruit for your glory. Lord, and we repent for every area where we have ignored the inner unction, the inner witness of the fruit of the born-again state of the Spirit of God. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness in every area, Lord, that we have gone astray when you've tried to rescue us within and we produced unrighteousness outside. So, Lord, please wash us and reestablish us in that place. Keep us filled with your Spirit, Lord. Keep us thirsty and hungry for you, that we may be sensitive to the inner witness and the fruit of that born-again spirit. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.